What a difference a day makes, huh? Thank goodness all that weather is gone and over with. And if you look at the forecast, it's like you hit the jackpot on a slot machine. Sunny all 4 days coming up, really, for the next 7 days. No chance of rain or no mention of it. Highs of 74 tomorrow. 74 today, rather, beg your pardon. 78 on Friday, 80 Saturday, 82 Sunday. So just perfect for the Strawberry Fest in Ponchatoula and the French Quarter Fest. And right now, it's kind of chilly outside, comparatively speaking, about 61 degrees, kind of breezy. David Schultz joins us, professor of political science at Hamline University, to kind of talk about the presidential race and some of the perils that former President Trump is facing. How you doing, professor?
I am doing very well, and I hope all is well with you.
We had a rough weather day yesterday, and some people are still without power, and we had a couple of tornadoes, but I don't think anybody lost their life. That's good.
At least that's a good part of the news.
Exactly. Let's talk about we got a couple of different things going on here with President Trump and Special Counsel Jack Smith. One of them is about the documents case, and the other one is about immunity in a different situation. Correct?
Correct. Absolutely correct. So in terms of the immunity case, this is really growing out of Washington, D.C., but it has implications for the documents, too, is that we have coming up in about a couple of weeks in April, we got a case before the U.S. Supreme Court in which Donald Trump is asking or arguing that he enjoys absolute immunity from any type of prosecution from actions arising out of when he was president of the United States. So I think that's the first big issue that's coming up here in terms of the federal cases. We also have, in terms of the document cases, a fight going on between, I'm going to say, the judge in the case and Special Prosecutor Smith regarding some parts of it are about the jury instructions mm-hmm. and about how to construe what's called, you know, the Presidential Records Act in terms of what the judge was asking at one point is, well, put together some possible jury instructions at the end of the trial about the Records Act, and the prosecutor's arguing that the judge has completely misconstrued the purposes and what the act is supposed to do. So there's fights at the federal level, and we can't forget the fact that this Monday, barring anything unforeseen, Trump goes on his first trial, and that's in New York City. This is for the payoff, alleged payoff, I should say, through Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels to keep her story of the sexual relationship with Donald Trump quiet during the 2016 presidential election.
And what is he charged with doing? Because you think, well, paying off a porn star, if you're married, you probably want to do that. Or if you're in a public eye, you don't want that to come out. Sure. So what is illegal about that?
What he did was he's being allegedly charged with fraud, correct. Now, if he had just paid her off through the business and concealed it, that would have been misdemeanor fraud. Because what he did here, he didn't write a check himself. I don't know all the ins and outs of New York law. If he had just cut a check himself and said, here, Stormy Daniels, shut up, leave me alone, might not have been any issue of fraud there potentially. But because he did this through his business and they allegedly came up with false purposes for checks, false entries in the ledger, that makes it a potentially misdemeanor fraud under New York law. But because they're arguing under New York state law that he did this to conceal another crime, i.e. an illegal disbursement under federal law, that jacks it up from misdemeanor to felony fraud. So that's what that case is about.
But this was done when he was president, so the ruling of presidential immunity would not apply to this, correct? Or what?
Correct. It should not apply to this because, again, looking at as much of the facts that we can put together here, and we don't have a lot of details on all the facts, so it was a razor-thin indictment, unlike, let's say, the one in Georgia or in Florida, which had, incredible amount of words in it. It looks like the alleged payoffs occurred before he was president of the United States.
Now, moving on to the documents case, this kind of gets into the progression of the trial and maybe the impartiality of the judge, maybe having the judge removed. And I know you're a professor of law as well. Maybe you can walk us through this. because although it's kind of in the weeds with jury instructions, it could be everything, and double jeopardy could apply where if the judge decides, if the judge doesn't rule beforehand and the prosecutor gets the ruling during the trial, his chance at prosecuting the former president could be gone, right? Explain everything that I just said, David, in a more sensical way, if you can.
Sure. Even though the dispute only sounds like it's about jury instructions, what it's about at this point also is Smith is arguing that the judge doesn't grasp what the law is about. That in essence, the Presidential Records Act says everything that the president writes, produces, everything that occurs during the administration is public information. There's no such thing as private notes. So for a parallel, remember there was concern that Biden had taken some documents out, including what he claimed were his own personal notes that he took during, like, I guess, some meetings or something. There is no such thing as personal notes. It's all, let's say, government property at that point. And the judge seems to be, according to Smith, confused about what the law is. And his concern is if she's confused going in, she may make a variety of rulings and decisions during when they're making motions about admitting evidence and so forth like that. That could adversely affect the prosecution of the case. And that's what the concern is at this point.
And she kind of
just does not have.
I'm sorry.
And she doesn't have a grasp of what the law is about. I'm sorry.
And she kind of tipped her hand by asking for them to submit briefs, right?
Exactly on this issue. Correct.
So what the concern from the prosecutor's standpoint is if the judge doesn't grasp the law or see the law as does the prosecutor, that's why he wants the ruling beforehand, and that's why he would move, correct me if I say anything wrong here, David, for removal of the judge. If the judge doesn't buy the premise to begin with, well, then after the prosecution presents their case, if the judge doesn't buy the premise, then the defense could move for summary judgment, and the judge could say, you're absolutely right. There's no violation of law here, and then there's no more trial because double jeopardy would apply after that. Accurate?
That is absolutely accurate at this point. So I'm going to be curious to see in the next, you know, few days, you know, in terms of what the prosecutor does at this point, because I could seriously see him saying, if she doesn't change and doesn't change her perspective on this one, I need to move for a new judge. If that happens, that clearly results in a delay in the trial.
All right, all that, we'll talk about the other case when we come back. And, of course, this is all against the backdrop of a presidential election that's going on. We'll talk about the actual race itself. David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, talking about presidential immunity, and that's the claim that the president's making in the next case that we'll address. 621 Traffic Now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, as we try to navigate our way through the charges against former President Trump. We've already talked about the documents case and Judge Eileen Cannon, I think is her name, and the
Correct.
Dispute that's going on with the prosecutor as to whether or not the Presidential Records Act, is that the name of it?
Presidential Records Act, yes.
Yeah, if the judge sees it the same way or is at least open to seeing it the same way as the prosecutor is. And what is his next step here? Because that brings us to the next case against the president about presidential immunity. And the prosecutor, Special Counsel Jack Smith, is arguing this case or has argued it before the Supreme Court. Where does this stand?
Oral arguments are scheduled for that. I think it's like April 25th. I think that's correct. April 25th in a couple of weeks. Trump has submitted, or his attorneys have submitted their briefs in the case. Jack Smith has submitted his briefs. And so now we're just literally waiting at this point for the Supreme Court to hear oral arguments. And then that'll occur in about, roughly 2 weeks? I think at 2 weeks it'll occur. And then likely decision from the U.S. Supreme Court sometime before the end of June. Most people are thinking it's unlikely that Trump will win in the sense of saying that he's immune from all prosecution. Just nobody thinks that's going to happen at this point. The question is going to be what the court actually does. Do they say at that point that There's no immunity whatsoever, and therefore trial can proceed, or do they say something else? So we just don't know at this point. I think it's likely that they'll say something along the lines of, he doesn't enjoy absolute immunity, but we're going to let this become part of what could be argued in lower court during the trial. Point being is that Trump has been successful at delaying a lot of the cases, but the time is running out for him on delaying at this point. And I actually think that both the documents case and the January 6th case are getting pretty close to where I think we're actually going to see trials before Election Day on those. And so he succeeded in moving them, but moving them enough that they're going to come right in the dead center of the general election.
Is that to his advantage, disadvantage, or does it matter? Because it seems like, as you're talking about moving trials, I don't know if it moves the needle at all, or if it does, maybe in favor of him.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think right now he's been able to use the trials very effectively for fundraising purposes and to rallying the troops. It clearly will affect him in terms of pinning him down during the trial, in terms of his ability to campaign. I think the bigger issue is, again, polls are suggesting that if he is convicted of a crime, and remember, he's got a presumption of innocence until proven guilty, but if he is, there's some indications in the polls that that could move enough people that could affect those few swing voters in those few swing states. And so I can call it the micro level. At the micro level, a conviction could make a difference.
You know, somebody texted in, and I understand where they're coming from, but to the bigger point about if Trump wasn't running for president, none of this would be happening. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that the feds have already cut deals with politicians where we won't charge if you just resign and don't run for office again. Do you think he'd have any legal trouble if he had just gone quietly into the gentle night?
I don't think he would have at this point. I think in part they would have cut some kind of a deal on a lot of the stuff here. Now, some people will say, that proves that it's only happening because he's running for president. Not exactly. What it means is that prosecutors all the time, for good or for bad, plea bargain, cut deals because they want to save the taxpayers money. They want to save everybody an effort. And I think in this situation here, Trump might have just walked away if he had just said, that's it, I'm done. I did my one term as president, right off into the sunset. And I think all of us would not be dealing with most of this stuff right now.
And as the president, but when it comes to local officials, they have cut deals with local officials not to prosecute in exchange for local officials resigning and not running for office again, right?
Absolutely correct. Remember, this is the first time we've had a president or an ex-president indicted for a crime, so we're playing in a whole new ballgame.
But just before people start saying, well, you know, you're controlling who's in office and who's not, there is precedent for that. It has happened, just not at this level.
Absolutely correct. It happens all the time.
Thank you, David. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 6:30. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller.